So just tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you end up being a mechanical engineer for a Mars mission?
That's such a great question, and it's a crazy journey. I'm originally from Northern Arizona. I grew up in Holbrook, Arizona. That's where I went to school all the way through high school. I actually was born, though, on the Navajo Nation. I'm originally from Tuba City, Arizona. That's where my mom's side of the family is from. My dad's side of the family is from the Kienta area. So I have deep roots in Northern Arizona. Coming from that area, I didn't really see myself. I didn't know that this job at NASA was going to be something that I was going to be able to do. But I think I worked hard and I dreamed big. I ended up going to Stanford for school. Got a bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering. Along the way, I had a few internships and was lucky enough to get some at some NASA centers. And I think that's what really set me up for eventually getting my job at NASA JPL.
You know, whenever I drive out to Holbrook or Tuba City, I always think, you know, this landscape looks so much like Mars.
Yes, that's exactly what I love using that antidote for everything.
Did that inspire you when you were growing up there, like just connecting with the landscape in that way?
I think for sure, growing up in the northern Arizona deserts had an impact on me. And now, when I'm working on this Mars mission and I see the beautiful panoramas that the Mars Curiosity rover is sending down, I see northern Arizona, I see the Southwest in those pictures. And it reminds me of my childhood running up and down those mesas and playing in the sand. I always joke about it to people here that I grew up understanding how sand and rocks work. And that's really helped me understand how to manipulate them, how to gather samples from them for my job.
Tell me about that. So your role on this Mars mission, you built the drill bits, right, that are going to drill into rocks on Mars.
That's correct. So the Perseverance rover has an entire elaborate sample acquisition and caching system. And what that means is that it can drive around the deserts of Mars and use its cameras to scan the area and help scientists identify areas that might have interesting looking rocks that they might want to study. We can drive up closer to those rocks. We can extend a giant robotic arm that has a powerful coring drill at the end of it. This drill is able to use three different types of drill bits that we've provided to do different types of interaction with the rock. So they can abrade the top surface of rocks to remove sort of like the outer weathered layer of a rock so that we can use our science instruments to image sort of the unweathered protected area of the rock. We can also collect a rock core. So there's a coring bit that we use that will drill into the rock and extract a rock core that is just a cylindrical piece of rock that looks, it's maybe about the size of a piece of chalk, maybe a little bit wider. It is collected straight into this extremely clean sample tube. And we pass that rock core in the sample tube back inside the rover where we store it safely so that one day we're hoping to bring those rock samples back to Earth someday. And there's one more type of sampling we can do, and that is with this bit called the regolith bit, and it picks up loose rocky material, basically like sand or soil.
Okay, so those rock cores are just going to be stored on Perseverance until one day, hopefully, we can go back and pick them up.
That's right. So Perseverance is the first mission in potentially three missions that we're calling the Mars Sample Return Campaign. And so this is just the first step of it. We're sending Perseverance to drive around, grab these samples, and we're going to cache them somewhere on Mars's surface, a safe place where we know we can find them. A second mission will go to Mars. It'll be a lander with a couple different components. One of them will be a fetch rover, so another little tiny robot car that can drive out, grab those samples where Perseverance left them, bring them back to the lander. It'll pack those samples into a special little canister in a rocket that's on Mars, and that rocket will be able to launch from Mars into space. And then a third mission is going to leave Earth, go to Mars, catch those samples that are orbiting around Mars, and bring them back to Earth. So it's a really incredible future for Mars sample return. It'll happen in the next 10 or years or so. So I always like to tell the younger audiences that if you're in school now and you one day become a scientist or an engineer, this sample return mission campaign is still going to be happening in your lifetime, and you could be a person that helps support it.
That is so cool. So why rocks? What can we learn by looking at Mars rocks?
Our rocks here on Earth tell us a lot about the history of Earth's history, and it's not too different from Mars. Both Mars and Earth are terrestrial planets. They're related in that way. They have a similar origin and makeup. So when we are studying Mars's rocks, we're actually able to look into Mars's past. These rocks have been around since the early development of the planet, like 3.5 billion years. And so when we are able to grab a rock sample, we can look through all the layers, look at all the tiny chemical makeup or signatures that are hidden within the rock to figure out evidence about what Mars's climate used to be like way back when, to see if there was ever life possibly on that planet. And that's the key question that we're trying to answer with this mission is, was there ever ancient life on Mars?
What do you think the answer is going to be?
I have a lot of hope. I would love to believe that because Mars at one point had bodies of water, and that could have meant that they had an atmosphere that was similar to Earth, that could have meant that there was possibly conditions that meant that life could have existed there. I think it's possible. Like if Mars is our closest relative, then why wouldn't they have developed life just like life developed here on Earth? So it's going to be an incredible discovery when and if we make that, and I'm very excited for that.
Now, Perseverance also has a helicopter on it. Is that right?
That's right. We're sending a helicopter to Mars. We call it Ingenuity. This helicopter is the first time that we're ever going to be demonstrating powered flight on another planet. And so this is really incredible. At one point, Mars rovers were just an idea, a concept. And we sent the Sojourner rover to Mars, and it proved that we could even just drive something, another robot on Mars. And so the Ingenuity helicopter is doing the same thing. It's just proving that we can fly something on Mars. And it's a little bit, it is difficult to fly things on Mars. They have a very thin atmosphere. And they have a different gravity. They have 1/3 the gravity that we do here. So things act differently there. And so we need to prove that we can fly anything on Mars. And once we do, we are likely going to be sending more flying missions with more capabilities, and who knows what more we'll be able to accomplish with flying missions.
Neat. And it's just a tiny helicopter, right? Like more like a drone?
That's right. I think maybe about 2 feet by 4 feet.
Okay, so tell me what is going to happen on landing day.
On landing day, we are going to be observing in real time, I hope everyone will join us, a sequence that we call entry, descent, and landing. And so this sequence is fully automated. There are no humans in the loop. They've already programmed all of this into the spacecraft to happen sequentially, automatically. And the reason why we have to do it that way is because our communication lag with Mars. It takes at least 11 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, for a signal from Mars to get to Earth. So we can't rely on being able to joystick or control things real time. So that's why a lot of people call this event the 7 minutes of terror. The reason why they call it the 7 minutes of terror is because at the point where the spacecraft will just barely be hitting the top of Mars's atmosphere until the point where the rover wheels touch the ground, it will take 7 minutes, only 7 minutes. And so all of that is happening during the communication delay. We won't know if it has been a successful landing or not a successful landing by the time that it actually happens on Mars. So the whole sequence starts out with the spacecraft getting to the very top of Mars's atmosphere. It'll be safely protected inside of a heat shield. And so as it's experiencing Mars's atmosphere, there's a bunch of friction happening on the outside of that heat shield. The heat shield will protect it from burning up. So once we're safely inside, then we can deploy a parachute. This parachute opens up, it's huge. I think it's about 70 feet in diameter, and it has to be huge in order, because like I said before, Mars's atmosphere is very thin. So we can't really rely on it to slow us down that much. So it does the best it can, slows it down. During that time, we release the bottom part of the heat shield, and that opens our eyes. All of a sudden we can see Mars's ground. We can see our potential landing site. After the parachute has slowed us down for a while, they'll actually separate the parachute from the spacecraft. And then we start to come down on rocket motors. The rocket motors are what are going to actually slow us down the most and get us to a very slow and stable, basically hovering over Mars's atmosphere. And once we're hovering over the top of Mars's the landscape of Mars, we lower the rover down on what we call a sky crane. And so that's just a set of cables that lower the rover down. The rover deploys its wheels, and the wheels will just touch the ground on Mars. And once the once it's sensed that the rover wheels have touched, they'll cut the cables from the descent stage that'll fly away. And then the rover can wake up and it's on Mars. It's incredible.
Yeah, okay, so why not just use reverse thrusters like some other missions on Mars have done? Why do you need the crane?
The reason why we need such an elaborate landing sequence is because Perseverance is so heavy. It's the heaviest robot that we've sent there. It's about 1 ton. So it weighs about the size of a VW bug, or I've heard some people say that weighs about the size of a small, like, baby humpback whale. So this is a huge, heavy thing, and it's very hard to land things like that. And so we have to rely on several stages in order to slow us down and safely land us on Mars.
How are you feeling now that landing day is almost here?
Oh, I'm feeling equal parts very excited and very nervous. I of course am optimistic, and I believe that our team has done everything that they needed to in order to have us land safely. I trust that our team has gotten us that far. But it's just, Mars is a very hard place to land things. It's hard to land things on Mars. So I'm very optimistic. I'm very excited. When it lands, I'm probably going to get very emotional. This is the culmination of about 5 years of work for me. And so I'm really excited to see it. And actually, once it lands successfully, that's when the parts that I worked on can start being used. So that's exciting.
What is your job going to look like while Perseverance is operating on Mars?
So actually, I am just going to be a spectator, just like all of you guys at home. I delivered the parts that I needed to for the rover a year and a half ago. Since then, I've been working on a team that's working on testing. We have a giant vacuum chamber, and we can change the conditions inside the chamber to mimic Mars. We take it down to a low pressure. We can change the temperature to higher low temperatures. We put rocks in there that are similar to rocks we might find on Mars. And we have an entire replica of the rover's robotic arm and sample caching system and drill. And so we can do an end-to-end test in a Mars-like environment here on Earth before we actually do that on Mars.
Why Mars? What excites you about being able to explore other planets?
What excites me most about exploring Mars in particular is that Mars is just another terrestrial planet, just like Earth is. And so we know a lot about our own planet and our own history and development over time. We know about how life forms came to develop here. Mars is going to give us another data point. It's going to really open our eyes to not just how things happen here on Earth, but how things happen in the universe, about how planets form in our universe. If we find life on Mars, it's just going to completely change the way that we think about ourselves as humans and our existence. And so it's going to be incredible. And it also opens the possibility to finding life not only on Mars and other planets, but also in other galaxies, other universes. So we there's so much more to explore out there.
Do you have any message you want to share with the folks back home?
So myself being Navajo, being Native American, and also getting to be an engineer that gets to work on a project like Perseverance. It's just so exciting. I'm so happy to be a representative of my people. And I hope that young kids from Northern Arizona, from the area, the region that I grew up, can see themselves in the future working on big things like this if they want to. You just have to persevere, and you have to keep dreaming and follow those dreams.
Aaron Yazzie, good luck on the mission, and thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.